I wasn't even looking over there. Well, this morning, I tell you, it's been some wonderful songs this morning. And I tell you, Linda, you did a wonderful job, and y'all did a wonderful job. But I know that my Redeemer lives, that is certainly the truth. Last week, we discussed how prayer is powerful and how it should be our plan A, not our plan B. There's no doubt that we need, as was said last week, more righteous people that are praying faithful prayers in our world today. And that was the distinction on last week about prayer being powerful, that prayer is powerful when it is prayed from a righteous person who is then praying a faithful prayer. And when you look across our country, and not just the United States of America, but the world as well, you can turn on any news about anywhere, and it's almost depressing. Every time you turn it on with whatever, because that seems to be really sometimes the only thing that really sells. That's what we tune in to see, what tragedy is taking place or what discord that there is in some government, all over the place. We think our political system is broken, here in the United States of America. Well, just I've been watching a lot about the United Kingdom and what they're doing over there as far as Britain getting out of the European Union. It's a fiasco that they're having over there as well. So anywhere you look, there's political discord, there's discord between the people, people fighting about this and protesting about this and tragedies happening and all the rest of it all over the world. So it's not, you can look at our local news. You want to watch Tucker Sargent on Channel 41? News over there, 13, I don't care which one you turn it into, and Macon, Georgia is depressing. Statewide, going all up to national and worldwide news. But if you have been tuning in to a smidgen over the past several weeks, there's some major debates that are going on in our country right now. And really, they've been going on for quite some time. They've been going on for decades, most of them. But a lot of stuff is really out in the news today, and there's major battles being taken, like I said, in our country. And you can see it even on our Facebook pages, where there's battles being taken on the home front levels with people engaging. And there's a common issue that's at the core of all of this that I really want to tackle this morning. And it is the title of the message today, Morality versus Legality, okay? Morality versus legality. I think that there's a lot of folks, and there may be, I say maybe, there are some people in here today that have this belief that these two things are one and the same, that legality and morality are the same. I'm here to tell you, you don't even have to listen to another thing I say. That's not true. Okay? So I want to have no ambiguity in what I will be saying this morning, that it is not true that simply because something is legal means that it is then moral. Okay? Hopefully I'll be able to display that to you this morning if you have any kind of ambiguity about it where you sit right now. In your notes, and hopefully on the screen as well, I've got the definition of these two things. First part of that is coming from straight from Merriam-Webster, and then I also have the definition that you'll just Google as well, because most folks just Google. But morality is a doctrine or system of moral conduct. It's principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong or good and bad behavior. Okay? So a doctrine, a system of belief that you would have there, and it's those principles where we define what's right and what's wrong, okay? Legality, then, has a different definition. It's attachment to or observance of law, the quality or state of being in accordance with the law, okay? Did that mention anything in that definition about something being right or wrong? It just talks about it being legal. Okay? Again, and I've tried to, I think, put in your notes, that morality is just simply whether something is right or wrong. That's what morality is. When we say, is something moral? Is it right to do that? Or is it wrong? Legality just simply means, is it legal? Is it in accordance with the law of wherever you are at that particular time? In order for us to take a position on the debates that we're having in our world today, and this message is going to cover many of the hot button issues that you may see on your TVs when you turn them on. Our Sunday school material this quarter, or this section of the book, is talking about engaging culture. And we have been going through some very major controversial things that just so happen to be in the major news right now. We have dealt with it. You have been kind of at a disservice if you have not been in a Sunday school class the past 3 weeks, that we have been engaging in small group time about things that are absolutely on the hearts and minds of people in this room today and that we're facing today. And I think it was a really good Sunday school material that we have right now. But if you're going to engage in this debate that we're having in the country, whatever it is, whatever debate that may be out there, and I know that many people have something on their mind right now that you think I'm talking about. You have one issue that you think I may be addressing. I think this is going to address many of those issues, but you've got to take if you're going to take that position, then you must figure out whether your doctrine or system of moral conduct, where that comes from. Where do you go to determine whether something is right or wrong? Okay? A lot of people in here are going to throw out the Bible. Well, that's not necessarily true, though. That's what you think is a good church answer, a good answer because you may be sitting here. But is that truly where you go to find what's right and wrong? Or do you just simply dig from within and say, well, I believe that is right, and thus it is right? So I'm asking you to spend just a few seconds this morning to, when you are faced with controversial issues like which you know that you've seen on our televisions, where do you as an individual go to answer or take a side of whether that particular controversial issue is right or wrong? What's your source of morality? Okay? You must find that in order for you to finally take a position either way. I'm not sure that everyone agrees in here, and I'm fixing to find out. Raise your hand if you agree that just because something is legal, it then must in turn be right. Raise your hand. Didn't expect to see no hands. Did I see one up there? Huh? Okay. So I didn't think that there would be a whole lot of people that would have agreed. Maybe there was somebody, though, that just did not want to raise their hand, but you believe that way. So let's go through a little exercise, if we will. For example, prior to 1964, in the Civil Rights Act of 1964, it was legal in this country to discriminate on the basis of race. There were many of you that were alive during that time period. You were alive in the South during that time period. You remember that it was proper, legally, to say you went to this school and you went to this school. You drank out of this water fountain and you drank out of this one. That you used this restroom, but you did not use this one over here. The Jim Crow laws and all the rest of that kind of stuff. So my question, if there is anyone here, or if anyone listens to or watches this message that I'm giving today, the question that I pose to anyone is this: was discrimination on the basis of race moral or right prior to the Civil Rights Act of 1964? Anybody in here believe, because it was legal in 1963 to have discrimination based on race? It was legal, right? Okay? I'm asking the question in this audience, was it right or moral in 1963. Okay, that's one example. Let's move on to the second one. Prior to the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003, signed by President George W. Bush, it was legal in the United States to have a partial birth abortion. I was in high school, and I got graduated high school and was getting a business degree, and I did a speech on 23-week-old abortion, and it was a little bit, you know, this big debate had happened in our country. A few years later, I'm in college, I'm doing an information speech, not persuasive, and I did that over 23-week-old abortion. I learned a lot, and I gave a lot of information to my classmates in that college class. Let me educate you this morning, if you did not know, what partial birth abortion was. Okay? The baby's head was out of the mother. They then took a needle, stuck it in the base of the baby's neck, injected them with medication that killed the baby, birthed the shoulders and the rest of it, wrapped it up in a piece of paper and laid it on a counter. If you don't believe me, then I can bring next week video evidence that is still out there about it, which I used in my speech, but I don't think that would be required. But that's what was legal prior to 2003. Same question I want to pose to you. Was it right or moral in 2002? So I think if based on how you've answered these questions, that you've probably come to realize that there is in fact a difference between what may be legal and what may be moral. You seen it? Now there's many other examples. Many examples. I chose two. There's many examples of things that are out here that laws have evolved over the course of time, and we have realized that those laws were in error, and we have passed new laws. Laws have never dictated to us necessarily what is moral. You hope that legality is tied to morality. You hope it. But we have seen in 1963 and in 2002, prior to both of those laws being passed, our law did not compute to what we would consider to be moral. Let me submit something political to you. And I won't name the name just so I can try to be a little bit ambiguous about what I'm saying. I would never cast a vote for a politician who supported partial birth abortion. There is absolutely, now, I didn't say abortion, period, but I'm specifically, because there was a politician, very, very famous politician, who just got finished running and losing, who that was the single issue that I would never have casted a vote for that person, no matter what, because I have a video evidence of that person supporting, prior to 2003, partial birth abortion. You are less than human if you're able to do that. Now, that was Corey speaking. I didn't read that from the scripture, but that is my thought on that. The baby's there. What reason? What reason could we have had from the passing of Roe versus Wade to 2002 to allow such atrocity in our nation that people supported partial birth abortion? It is inhumane. It was ridiculous. Now our law then is computing to what I feel like was something that is moral. Our law since 2003 with the Partial Birth Abortion Act computes with morality a lot better than it did prior to that. But I don't base my morality on what law is. You can go to another country and you'll find that they do a lot of heinous things that we have outlawed in our country now. Because our laws have more computed with morality in a lot of different ways. You are blessed to live in the United States of America. We have our problems, church, but we are blessed people for living in this nation. You wouldn't hardly survive if you went to a third world nation. You would, kids today, oh man, they don't have defects in every country. They don't have anybody that's back, that they would backhand you across the wall, and there's nothing that you could do or say about it. They kill children in places for less than what some of our kids do out here. They send them to YDC and whatnot. They don't have laws that protect children in every nation. If you commit some types of crimes that are just like adults, you get punished just like adults, as severely as they do. So I want you all to get a basis this morning that legality and morality are different, and we need to see what we're supposed to do about this as Christians. Judges 17:6 says, "In those days Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit." Now, in the context of this, some idols are being made and all the rest of it. But the point of where I want to take this verse is the last portion, okay? But we obviously can tell, and you just reread the verse, but it is obvious from this, there was no king. There was a vacuum of leadership in Israel at this time. The 12 tribes were doing what the 12 tribes did, but there was no central figure that was leading the nation. And when you have a vacuum of leadership, people scatter. People do what they want to do. When there's no voice standing up trying to bring about, you know, a consensus, and you're rowing in the same way, then what you get is this last part of this verse. You get people that just do whatever they want to do, and that is utter chaos, is it not? Think about this for a moment. If morality is what each individual person in this room says it is, that is chaos. I got a text message earlier. There's somewhere about 100 people here this morning. That means there's 100 different lines of morality, right and wrong, here today. I don't think that that's proper. If it is wrong to abort a partially born baby, it is just wrong. It isn't that, well, this side of the room says that it's okay, that side of the room says it is not, but you're both right. I'm going to ask you a question. What color is this podium? Just basic. Let's just stay with basics. It's brown. If, in fact, Daniel just believes and wants to believe that this is white, is it? You may say he has a mental illness, or he's colorblind, or whatever the case is, but the fact remains that this is white. If, in fact, the government passed a law to say just this podium was white, yet that same color on something else was still brown, it's still brown. I mean, facts are stubborn things, okay? And opinions, everybody's got an opinion. But opinions are not facts, okay? All right? So I want you to understand, we have to, when you are really taking a position on something, when you're really going to be what we in the religious circles call being dogmatic about something, when you have dug in your heels and you are going to stand firm, know what your position is. Know where you are getting your information, and make sure you're on a solid foundation. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But what I find is so many people engaging in discourse in our nation today, and then they're easily washed away because the foundation is just built. You began to argue against this person's belief just by saying, well, I don't believe that's true. And then it's just a back and forth. It's just, well, I believe this, well, I believe that, well, I believe this, well, I believe that. You can never win an argument like that. You never add to a debate. If you're coming to the table on the same terms of the other side, it's just a different argument. I don't argue about Christianity that way. Well, I believe in Christianity. Well, I believe in Buddhism. Well, I believe in Christianity. Well, I believe in Buddhism. Good grief, we have better arguments than that, don't we, other than what we just believe to be true? If you go, and let me just use this as an example, if you go and try to evangelize a Buddhist only on the basis of argument that you know that your religion is right because that's what you grew up to be, what is he going to say? That's what I grew up to be, a Buddhist. You can't argue like that, folks. It's this circular reasoning that you're going to be getting into, and it's just big, never-ending continuum of a tennis match here. So what you want to do and what you see fit does not mean it is right just because you think so. Okay? It's not just because I think so. Something higher or deeper, more intelligent than us has got to make those determinations. So Israel was in a pretty bad place at the time in Judges 17:6, and so that was that time in the past. Well, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:3-5, and he says, talks about another time that's going to come. He says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their eyes away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Now, very familiar passage of scripture. I believe Jim may have used this not too long ago in a sermon that he preached, you know, here too. You've heard this before, right? This is not unfamiliar scripture to most people when you look at what he is saying in verse 3. But we're living in this time right now. This is not a time that's coming that Paul is talking about. This is our present day time period. We are living in a time where people are not putting up with sound doctrine. Instead, they are going after things that suit their own desires. That's today. I promise you, I'm in ministry right now. I deal with it every day. Okay? This is not future that you have to look at when Paul is writing this to Timothy. When you go back to that definition of morality that I gave you earlier, and you can refer, it talked about that doctrine, right? A doctrine or system of moral conduct. When you look at verse 4 here in 2 Timothy, it says, verse 3, I get myself straightened out here in a minute. But for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. With sound doctrine. That word means good, wholesome, without error. When you look at sound, people are not today, they are absolutely not putting up with correct system of belief. They are not. They are. And this is you too. I do this as well. When you have something that you don't like that's on the news, what do? Turn the channel. When you don't like MSNBC, you turn it to Fox News. So you'll hear what your itching ears want to hear. And if vice versa, if you can't stand Sean Hannity, you're going to listen to Rachel Maddow. Bless your heart. Okay? If you're like me, let me tell you what I do when it comes to news consumption. I am 31 this year. I'm pretty young. I take my news from a lot of different places. I do not take the paper. I can read it on Macon Telegraph and save my money. So I don't take the actual physical paper. But I read and I take a look at local news. But I like to hear what this news place is saying and what this news place is saying. And maybe one of those ones that they may be in the middle. Couldn't hardly tell you which one of those there are, but we try. Okay. It's the same way I take in information about the Bible. I read some opinion about what people have in commentaries over here, what people may say over here, and you take all of that in, you pray, you take in information. We talked about wisdom in our Sunday school this morning. You get wisdom not from one source unless you're getting a straight, direct line from God, but wisdom comes from a multiplicity of different wise counsels that you're taking into there. So when you look at what folks are doing today, if you don't like something, you just turn to whatever itches your ear, and then that's all you consume. okay? And then you dig down and you take that particular position. If you don't like that there's something gory on TV, then you turn the channel or whatever. We all seek what we desire at some level, and that's proper to do so. However, when it comes to the truth, we should all be seeking what is factual, what is sound. Isn't that right? Even though you disagree with it, if it is true, you should submit to it. Because, I mean, I can tell you, there's many things that happen, and we're even talking about in a church aspect, that there are things that happen, y'all, and I'm the pastor of this church, and I've been in ministry for over 13 years. This isn't my first rodeo, and I have absolutely disagreed with God on many occasions. But I stood, sat, laid down, corrected. I never won those battles. I disagreed. I didn't understand. But if he says it, and if it's in his word, I trust him. I surrender to it. I mean, when I read about Balaam's donkey talking, you know, I thought, that's odd, but hey, I did see it on that Shrek movie. So, took in some wise counsel, and thus I believe the Bible because of Shrek. Doubtful. But there are things in the Bible that you go, wow, that's hard to understand, isn't it? Jonah 3 days in the well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace, 7 times hotter, come out with no stench. I've went through this same thing with y'all before. But we believe it. It's in the Bible. We know the Bible is true. We submit to it. You can't understand how Jesus died on the cross with all the witnesses like he did, yet they have still never recovered a body. You know why? Because the Bible says 3 days later he rose bodily. We believe it. It's true. We don't understand it, but it's true. So in the same way that you surrender to those truths, when there is something contrary to what may be your own desire, if you are searching for truth, surrender to the truth, not your own desire. This is the problem that we have. People tell me, and I've heard this in here, I want to dispel this now. People walk up and say, you know what, that scripture means one thing to you, but another thing to me. Now, that is true in its application to your current circumstance. But the scripture only means one thing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That means if you believe, God loves us so much, he sent Jesus to the cross. If you believe in him, you get eternal life. Now, how does that mean something different to somebody else as far as the content of what the truth of the scripture is? It doesn't mean that you've seen a donkey running down the road. It means Jesus, so it can apply to your life circumstance in a deeper or different way. But what the scriptures say are what the scriptures say. You get where I'm going with this? Okay? You must read them. You must deal with what it says. And it can't be one truth for you and another truth for somebody else. It's the same truth. All right? So, Paul is really getting after Timothy. You know, here's what you're going to be facing with. He's telling him, you know, about how his congregations over 2,000 years ago are going to react. They're reacting that way already right now in today's times. We're facing with this, these things now, with people that are just running away from what they know to be true, but just going after what sounds good to them. That's our current state of events and affairs where we are. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do as Christian people, as leaders today with this kind of society, with these kind of people? That may be a question on the hearts and minds of people here this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Speaking to the Jewish leaders in Acts 5:29, Peter said this, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. Okay? This is the time when the Sanhedrin had called Peter and the other apostles in, and they said, you must stop preaching about Jesus Christ. And they went through this whole command to Peter and them, and Peter and the other apostles that were there, they looked in the face of the Jewish religious leaders, and they replied that, we've got to obey God, not men. Now, I would say to you and submit to you this morning, that ought to be your shout too. Man makes the laws, God makes the moral code. It's built within us. People, morality is not subjective, and it is absolutely not relative. Your moral code was written on your heart when you were created. You can see this. It's provable when you go and you look at places in the world that's never been in a civilization. They've never had the Bible. It's not religious in the sense of you have to have some religious text to teach you morality. The Aborigines in the Australian outback, the Native Americans before they were ever civilized, people in the Amazon rainforest, whatever, if you go, they know it's wrong to kill. They know it's wrong to steal. They know it's wrong to lie. That's not something that you have to teach societies as far as coming from the Bible. They've never had a Bible before. How did that happen? How did all of the human race just somehow have the same, you know, basic, not all the rest of the stuff that we do have to legislate later, but our basic moral code? How did we get that? So ask the question to somebody. How did we all just know you're not supposed to kill, steal, lie? Go and do that in some other countries. They will chop your hand off, or your head, or your leg, or they'll hang you. They know. They're not Christian. It's not an inherently Christian thing. It's a God thing. One creator created everybody. That's how we have this moral code, you know, that is written on us. And we must obey God, not man. Now, with that being said, don't misunderstand that the Bible does teach us that we are to obey man's law. We are to obey our governments. We are not supposed to be anarchists and just going against our government and not obeying the laws. We are Christian people, and the Bible tells us, in scripture references that I've given you in your notes, that you are to obey the government and the laws of your land. However, you do not obey them when they conflict with God's law. So I'm going to obey my speed limit. I'm going to pay my taxes. I'm going to do all the other things that the government requires of me. But if the government tells me and legislates that I must not use the name Jesus in any of my messages hereafter, do you think I'm just going to go, oh, almighty government, I'm going to do exactly what you just said? Not this one. There'll be a time I'll have to make that decision. I can guarantee you. At my youth, unless I pass away here within the next 15 years, I can almost guarantee you that you and I are going to have to make a choice to go against our government's law when it comes to something in the church. It's already happening. It's not tomorrow, it's now. And what would you do? You say, well, the law of the land is that, the Supreme Court. I love the Supreme Court. I love what the institution is for our government, but they don't dictate to me morality. They dictate to me law. And when they require something of me that goes against God's law, I'll say the same thing Peter and them said in the Sanhedrin. Because there's only one. They're all going to be dead just like me at some point. They're all going to be bowing just like me at some point to a mighty God. And he's the ultimate one I got to answer to. So I better have him in mind when it comes to ultimately where I'm going to end up. So when you look at what Jesus was saying here in Matthew, he is clearly teaching that we should hear his words. We should put those words into practice. And if we do that, okay, then we are going to have a foundation that is like a solid rock. You're going to have things come against you. The waves are going to crash in. You're absolutely going to feel some torrential weather that is going to be out there. But in the end of verse 24, and then going into verse 25, it says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet what? It did not fall. You know, if you take a stand and you take a position and your foundation is built on God's law and it's built on the Word of God, it doesn't matter what external forces are going to come against you. You will not fall, and it is because it had its foundation on these next words, the rock. Who is that? Jesus Christ. That's one decision you can make. The second decision that you can make is the second example, going in to the other verses. It says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. What's sand do? Shifts. It moves. You see California. You got a bunch of California's coastline falling into the ocean. The water is eroding it away, and it's moving. It's not a firm foundation. It says that person who builds their house on the shifting sand here, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and what? It fell. And it fell hard with a great crash. Okay? That is what I see sometimes when I'm looking out and I'm watching people engage in this world in debate and try to be a part of constructive conversations. Whether you're coming from the Christian perspective or you're just trying to have a logical argument with somebody about something in our news out here, or you're trying to take a position on some controversial topic that's happening in our world, you're not coming at it from a firm foundation. And if you come at things from your own self-desires, again, you're going to fall in these arguments. We need, just like we need righteous people praying faithful prayers, we need righteous and faithful people that are taking a stand in our country today. And we need people to be engaging. We need people taking stands. We don't need people that are just wishy-washy, tossing back to and fro. I'm not that way when it comes to the Bible. I'm not that way when it comes to most things that I hold dear. I do have a lot of things that are gray areas that you can debate with me about. But whether or not Jesus Christ is the true risen Son of the living God, that's not something you're going to see me go, oh, I wonder how I'm going to answer that in a news question. If you ask me, is homosexuality wrong? Absolutely. It's in the Bible. I don't care the fact that I know people that are gay. I'm not saying you should hate them. I'm not saying you should take a bat and put a tape of Bible to it and beat the tar out of them. I'm not saying that. But it is wrong. Lying is wrong. Stealing, all the rest of it. Gluttony, wrong. You ask me, I tell you, it's wrong. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. It matters what the Bible says. That is my source of morality. And when the government goes against that, I could care less. It is absolutely fundamentally wrong. And if I'm going to be wishy-washy about it, who is going to be out here telling the truth to people? The truth is the only thing that sets you free, not the lies. The truth only leads to the salvation of the gospel. So what are you doing when you are just simply being a part and being party to people going down a path of destruction. Because you sit back, not only maybe you don't just sit back, you encourage it as a Christian. That is what the Pharisees did to the people when it said they made them twice the sons of hell. You know why Jesus said that they were like, they were making these people twice as bad? Is because then the religious authorities were telling them people they were right. And they put a lot of stock into what the religious people were saying. So they already were wrong, number one, and sinful, but now they believe they're right in their sin. And that's hard to change somebody once you have got the answer. Makes you worse, okay? I put this in bold in the scripture here. It's not scripture. I wrote it. In your notes, our society is crumbling down because we have replaced our solid foundation with the shifting sand. What is right and moral is dictated not by man's majority, but God's authority. I want that to burn into your mind, okay? And being that I've got to end this, I put this boldly in your notes here, and this just so happened to be Super Bowl Sunday. But you have no problem defending your favorite football team. How about you channel that energy and engage in constructively being led by the Holy Spirit in conversations that are being had in our society today? If we remain silent, how will the world know the difference? So I submit this to you. I am not asking you to take to Facebook and to be stupid and to say just anything that comes to your mind. Many people, I'm not going to necessarily say it's folks in here, but maybe, many people do that. They just take to Facebook and they start just typing something. What I am asking you, though, is quit fussing about society if you're not going to be somebody who's a part of the solution. You know what's right and wrong. And I'm going to give you one example. I had seen a Facebook post the other day about I'm not homosexual, I'm not pansexual, I'm not transsexual, I'm not asexual. I'm just one of the wacky people that believe that everybody should have the same basic human rights. Very good person that I know. I walked into my office on Xavier Road to my employees and I asked this question because I had made a post and I took it down. Wasn't very controversial, but I wanted to save my rant for a better platform, maybe on my own wall, not engaging in this person who has friends that I was going to waste my time on. But I said this, you know what? If the definition of marriage is what we say it is, then me and Joshua are going to get married. Ain't that right, baby? Let me ask you a question, church. This is not... I don't have a Bible in my hand. Why can't I marry my sibling? We say it, but I'm saying if you ask the world, if they're not using the Bible as their moral ground, and if marriage is just what we say it is to whom we want it to be with because we love people, and I may love my brother, and I want to marry him, or if I had a sister, my sister, with a logical argument, why does that not make sense? Why is it wrong for the Mormons in Utah to not have three or four wives? What is wrong with polygamy? If marriage is open, if there is no definition, what the Supreme Court did was absolutely strike down the definition of marriage, and it is now what you want it to be. And if that is what I want it to be, then I may want to marry my brother and a couple of other people, underage people. Why not? Why? You say, well, it's wrong. Who said? And I had an employee said, well, that would be incest. I said, I didn't say I had to sleep with them. A lot of people may be out there. The government doesn't really care whether you consummate it, whether that piece of paper is signed. They don't go check. Last time I was, they didn't come to my house. But you're legally married. So why I engage with people on that basis. If I can identify as being a woman, and that's okay to do, then I want to be an Asian woman. That'll help me get into Harvard. I'm serious. What's wrong with that? Joel, no disrespect to you and our other African-American folks in here. Why can't I be black? I'm a white man. I'm the only unprotected class. I can't sue on me and Jim and the other white men that are here. We can't sue on the basis of discrimination. You know, we are the only unprotected class in the country as white men. We're not a minority. So being at that, I want to be a minority. So I want to be an Asian woman. So when I apply to Harvard, I may be able to get in. They'll think I'm really smart and all the rest of it. What's wrong with that, though? If I can choose to be what I want to be, you say, well, you're not born in whatever country. Well, that's not a basis of that all the time either. So if you engage like this with people sometimes, and you actually go back and say, see, when you do away with the Bible and you do away with the moral ground, you leave this whole thing as a big question mark. And then it becomes whatever you want it to be. We don't want to live in a society like that, do we? That's where we're going, y'all. That's scary. What is more scary is your political leaders, who ought to be a little bit more mature, are endorsing that kind of stuff. That's scaring me here. There used to be a time when that was fringe level nonsense. Now you're getting people, we paying them to be in high office, to really be promoting this junk. Now that worries me. But what worries me more is the silence of the church. The ambiguity in the church. If you don't know what that word means, I'm going to teach you. It means that you waver, you don't know, you're unsure. We need to be sure, folks. And I know there's some of you in here, you got real close friends. You may be living in sin yourself. That don't make it right. We don't endorse it here. We're going to love you while you're here. We're going to help you while you're here. We're not going to toss you out on your blessed assurance. We're going to love you. But we don't endorse sin from any level. Me, because I can guarantee you, you find me in sin, y'all all going to be with your pitchforks out there at me. Come at me, I'm going to come at you. There we go. We'll be both. It'll go both ways with that. I'm saying, what are we going to do to change this society while we're sitting back silent and while we are telling people on our Facebook pages, it's okay that you go and you do all of these other controversial things that are out there. Folks, the abortion conversation that is happening right now, it's not about, that governor said something about after that it was born. Really? I am glad that both parties come out and said that was dumb. Okay? I am glad that they did that. But this kind of stuff is becoming mainstream. And what I'm telling you is that that is scary for your children and your grandchildren and for yourself, that if morality becomes what we legislate it to be, and here's where we're going to get to, and I'm going to end on this note. It is already here to where some of you who are getting into advanced age are being denied health care simply because of your age. They tell you, oh, I'm sorry, you can't have surgery. You may not make it through it. Who said? Who said? That's all they do that for, is so that they don't have to have the insurance company pay for you to have that surgery because they don't think you're worth it. There are sometimes you got a lot of other health. I've seen that happen to very healthy older people. And they just said that. So if where society is going to this, they can legislate that after 80, you get no health care as far as catastrophic surgery or whatever. And what is scary is this country would go, bow to you, Almighty Congress. At what point did they have to push us to where we rise up? Because they're pushing us pretty far. They're pushing me pretty far. Me and Jim talk about this all the time. When that White House lit up in them colors, that pushed me far. Okay? That did. I don't care who you like about the occupant of the White House at that particular time. But that should not have been endorsed from the highest levels of our country. They should have stayed out of that. Just like I stay out of telling you who to go vote for, because they're all corrupt. Okay? All right? I don't tell you who to go to vote for. But please, think about this stuff. Think about where your basis of morality, and I hope that had been done before this, but I kept going. Find out what you believe, why you believe it. Stand on the Bible and talk to people about it. You don't have to scream and holler and use obscenities, but just engage in this culture. That's what our Sunday school class is talking to us about, is engaging in this culture. And what I want you to know, and I'm leaving it here, if we don't, who is? Let's pray. Father God, I just pray.